Welcome to Caribbean Millennials.
Episode 19, guys, you know, we're back again this week, bringing you some hot information. Is that what I would say? It's hot information. I bring hot information to them, straight from the presses, you know.
Yes, straight from the rice cooker.
Yes, right onto your plate.
The hell?
So we've been reorganizing, relocating, you know, setting up new apartments, setting up new...
Danny's out of the woods,
You know, Danny, he's back into civilization now, guys.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And now I have a river view.
Whoa. Upgrade.
Yes. It's like moving on
you
up.
You really did move on up.
To the deluxe apartment.
Oh, yeah. I moved up above the second floor, so I live in high. Living high now.
All the way up.
Oh, yeah. The only thing that higher than me is my internet speeds.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, how's everyone's week been?
All right.
I mean,
America's been great.
Okay, yeah, we
get it.
I just like to throw that out
in the new apartment, so setting up ninjas and all kind of thing.
My week has really been great. Like one, this is one of the weeks where after it's done, you just pray that this isn't the high before the low. Like it's just this week was so good.
No, I get what he's saying. There's a week that it's like it's so great. It's like okay. This is too good to be true. Something is lurking around the corner.
Yeah, exactly. I just need the rest of the weeks of the year just
calm, mellow.
And have that same energy.
Yeah, keep that energy like they say online. You know? Yeah. Okay.
I feel like I need some of that energy because this week was just there. Meh.
I'll email it to you. I'll send it via USPS.
Check your Gmail.
I'd really appreciate it.
I'll put it in a box.
Check your WhatsApp message.
I don't know. I'm a little bit on the struggle bus right now. I feel like things are not flowing as they...
Girl went to work 2 days of the week.
Vernon, you say this every week.
2 days. I don't know what struggle bus she on. 2 days. Just saying.
You just like discounting my struggle. Next time I have something to say nothing.
All right, fine. Okay.
Yeah, things are not in flow for me.
Yeah, your week, your next week. Like I put in that energy.
You put it out there.
That next week.
Thanks. You put it out there in the universe. It's going to be a great week.
Yes.
That promotion she wants, she gets in it. Check this.
Monday coming up that you experience going to be the best Monday.
Missy?
That you've ever had.
Wow. Okay.
The secret.
Okay.
Secret sauce there for you.
Yeah.
Missy, I have a question for you.
Praying for this week to be great.
My week was great. My week was awesome.
Why was it awesome?
Did some sleeping, you know. Did some schoolwork. My week is pretty okay. Nothing, you know. I wasn't on a high like a Danny, you know, like everything amazing happening, but it wasn't like it was a dreadful dragging, you know, boring kind of week. It was an okay week, you know.
I feel you.
You know, I made progress on my, you know, my school project and whatnot. That's good. Little things here that's and there, good. You know. Well, you know, nothing too crazy to talk about. Yeah.
I hope that you did all that you have to do this week because you know the end of next week.
Trust me, the end of next week
is big things.
Trust me, big things.
For those of us who play video games, you know, put your girlfriends on notice, your wife.
Yeah, I'm unavailable.
Jabal.
October 26th, don't look for me.
Yeah, don't look for us.
Yeah.
Do not look for us. NBA, FIFA, Red Dead Redemption.
Yeah.
All these things out, don't look for us again.
I'm unavailable. You know, I have things to deal with.
Yeah, that's the real cuffing season. When you buy your game system and your nice TV. Yeah, that's the real cuffing season.
That's the real cuffing season right there, for real.
This cuffing season gets you a television and a game console. Boy. And then just, no drama. It will never let you down.
Let me tell you, I know it was serious because you know I haven't pre-ordered Red Dead yet, So, and the main reason why you're going to laugh at me, you're going to say, get serious. There's this Instagram account I follow, and the guy just randomly posts out free codes for games. And I saw he was posting Red
Get
Dead.
serious.
But I'm not. Oh, I don't know how people are doing it so quickly, because the guy made a post, and within like a minute, the code was redeemed already. So I'm like, screw it, I just have to pre-order the game and be done with that. But
Don't let Friday catch you
oh
sleeping.
no, Friday I'm not going to catch me sleep. Trust me, that is going to be preloaded. I'll be ready. But guys, I have a question. I have a question. Are we old because we're getting excited about appliances?
What appliances are you excited about?
I mean, you know, I was excited about getting a ninja, like that shit, and getting those fancy knives. That had me. I'm just curious. Are we? Because okay, and the reason why I asked this, well, not necessarily the excitement part, but I was talking to, I messaged somebody this week, a friend, and she was like, "Oh, I thought of you." Well, correction, I was thinking of this appliance, and then I thought of you, so I was going to message you, but then I forgot to. It was Daniel, by the way. Apparently, she thought about a griddle for some reason, and she remembered me, and she was going to message me, and she forgot. So I'm curious, are we old? Because we're getting excited about appliances here.
I mean, I would say it's just with age,
Comes wisdom.
and gratitude for the simple things in
You say
life.
simple, yeah, it's true.
You know, like being able to make 20 pancakes on your grill at one time. Being able to whip out that immersion blender and have the fluffiest mashed potatoes.
Did you have to make 20 pancakes? That's another story
Why
altogether.
wouldn't you make 20
But
pancakes if you
you
could?
had the griddle to make 20 pancakes. I see what you're
Amen.
saying there.
Amen to
So,
that.
anybody out here judging us, you know, for getting excited about appliances, wait till you get those appliances and you understand
I
why.
mean, all honesty, when we got our wedding registry stuff, it was Christmas, right? Like every day it was Christmas. It was like, oh my God, a blender. Oh my God, a panini press. Oh my God.
Yeah, I don't know what voice is Anushka doing there, but
I
yeah.
noticed you didn't call out my chopping board, so
Oh,
I'm pretty
wait,
disappointed.
excuse you?
Your chopping board. No, he didn't get us that chopping board.
The chopping board and thing, vacuum.
Oh,
Were you the chopping board?
No, somebody else got
I
us
think
that.
somebody else was the chopping board, Danny. You were something else. You were
But
something on the vacuum.
the vacuum is lit.
The vacuum is lit, trust me. I use that vacuum on a regular, I can tell you that right now. All right, so
Feel like I should get married just to get gifts.
don't fall for that trap.
Nice if I already have a ninja,
Because you'll be like, yeah, all the gifts, and then when you have to start putting out the money for said wedding, you'll be like, do I really want to do this?
Oh, you can't just invite like 1,000 people to a random field in Denry and like just
Everybody
hey pastor
bring a dish.
Why
hey
do we have
pastor
pasta?
oh my
Everybody bring a
God
dish kind of thing. Yeah. So guys, what's going on in the news? Anything, you know, noteworthy?
our friends in Canada are high as
Boy, yeah, Canada legalized marijuana.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting that Canada is only the second country on this earth to fully legalize
Well,
cannabis.
you see, you say that, eh?
Two
That's not
down,
the
200
interesting
to
part for
go.
me. The interesting part for me is that us in the Caribbean, we're not like running to try and make a, you know, some kind of relationship there to grow marijuana and ship to them. I
Well,
think
and
it's
well,
only Jamaica.
Jamaica had a
Jamaica is,
shipment for
yeah,
them,
Jamaica
but
had a shipment.
we,
I don't know how
as
much
a
Jamaica
Caribbean,
made.
should be in this like the return of geese. Bananas, like
Right?
we should be in this.
Marijuana is the new bananas. Marijuana should be the new bananas. I'm serious. Because when you think
Yes.
about it, Canada can't grow weed all year round
No,
because of
and there were I
temperature.
saw some article that was like there are numerous companies in the US and Canada that want to like do business in the Caribbean and want like to have farms and stuff in the Caribbean, but I think the legislation and all of that is
Yeah.
The thing about that, as we spoke about in a previous episode, is I don't want it to be some Canadian or somebody from Dubai, somebody from America, somebody from China that have to come to our islands, drop $1 billion, buy all the land, and then have us working for them.
For them, yeah.
It's kind of like a, it's
and
like
the businesses to be owned by people, who are already from those islands.
Yeah. What you
already from the Caribbean?
What you just described sounded like modern day slavery.
Yeah. So you're gonna have these people set up these nice plantations, and then we're not going to be the ones to benefit, but they're going to benefit off our land, as has happened many times before.
Yeah.
So the first legislature that has to go up after everything is legalized is any foreign investor coming into your island, there has to be at least a certain amount of locals on the board,
yeah,
or a certain amount of locals owning at least, yeah, 51% to 60%
of the company. Yeah, limit how much you can
guys,
own.
Guys, again, we could talk about marijuana for a long time. No, no, we no. have
or,
a podcast.
Visit our previous episode.
Yeah, we have
yeah,
a podcast.
Yeah, no, but
so
I get what Danny's saying.
I agree with him.
And I agree. I feel like that's something. I don't think it's too late for us in the Caribbean to hop on this and try and, you know, make some kind of relationship
it's not
there.
As yet. It's
and get in, so I think we should do that. Try
and it's not as yet, and I keep saying this. This is probably one of the last times normal people will get to be billionaires overnight. Mm. This is
yes.
one of the last times.
Yes.
The last major time was Prohibition, right?
Ooh.
When everybody started making wine, this lunch and wine and alcohol that launched a whole set of new millionaires and billionaires. The tech age launched a whole set of new millionaires and billionaires. This is probably going to be one of the last times in our lifetime.
And one of the most advantageous periods for the Caribbean.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Because the Caribbean will be one of the only places in the world that you will be able to grow cannabis outdoors year round. So that
right.
is a huge benefit that we are not utilizing, because the people who lead the Caribbean are older than our parents.
And part of the thing is they don't take a stance on this thing. Everybody out here, well, I waiting to see on the other island saying, grow some balls and take a stance, Missy.
Oh, you see now our Caribbean leaders need balls?
Damn. Well, they need to start after they have some.
Anyway,
yeah.
another thing that happened in the news, very tragic. There was some horrible, horrible flooding in Trinidad this past week.
Yes.
Numerous homes underwater. I think thousands of people affected. There were people who had to sleep on their roofs. To avoid the water and wait, you know, waiting for help. I'm sure we're going to see things popping up in the next few weeks about donating and that kind of thing. But also, this other news item shows that we've been very relevant with our podcast topics, because just a
climate
couple...
Climate change.
We spoke about marijuana. We also spoke about climate change and our government being prepared for like disaster.
Well, I feel like this flooding that happened, I don't think they even thought this was going to happen.
But I think that's the thing with all of this. All of this, you never know what's going to happen, right?
Yeah.
So and I think some of the things I was seeing on Twitter is people were disappointed with how long it took the government to respond, to declare an official state of emergency and whatever. And I think even, you know, the government still had to approve whatever funds to be freed up for the, you know, relief. But, you know, anytime people lose their homes and, you know, you never want to
imagine.
Yeah,
it's a sad sight to see all those pictures and videos. It's,
thoughts and prayers go out to, you know, all the Trinidadians.
All the Trinidadians.
All our Trinidad family.
Yeah.
You know?
And because I was talking to my mother was like, what's surprising for her and shocking is that she's seen people in the water and whatnot. And she's saying she remember when she went to school in Trinidad, they have snakes.
Well, you saw pictures. There were videos of like huge snakes and like alligators and that kind of thing.
They have all those things.
I
so these people in
that.
The water. She's like, boy, these people brave.
But the other thing is, they don't have a choice, right?
They'll be on the roof of somebody else, eh? But someone would be screaming at me to get down. Not here. So, boy, top 10 prayers go out to them.
Yeah, all the best. And, you know, Trinidad is strong, so they'll
bounce back. Yeah, man. Also, I mean, I hope the other islands try and, you know, come together and help them.
Well, I think you've already seen is people from other parts of Trinidad coming in and in support. I think, you know, while it is devastating, one thing about these kinds of events is it always kind of brings people together. So there were numerous accounts of other Trinis opening up their homes to those who had lost, and there was something like a guy who has a certain business and has boats, like was using his boats for his business to kind of help get people out and that kind of thing.
That's cool. I like just stories.
There are a lot of stories like that cropping up. But, you know, I think it's also like it's your people, and, like, you know, you do what you can do to help, right?
You help when you can. So
Other thing is, you never know when it's going to be
you. Exactly.
So
in other news, in Barbados, apparently they're going to cut 1,500 public servants, and this has caused the unions to protest, to come out and start protesting. It looks like it's so bad, the economy is not looking so good, that they have to let go 1,500 people. Yeah, that's not good. So tell me, 1,500 people going to be without a job soon?
Mm-hmm.
These people would have jobs if cannabis was legal.
Well, so, I mean, but here's the thing. Like, what do these people do?
The Prime Minister of Barbados, let's talk.
Oh my God.
Reach out to me. You know how to get to him. Yeah. No, but here's my thing. Like, what do these people do? Because I guarantee you, it's not like the private sector have room for these 1,500 people.
Right.
Yeah, it's gonna be tough. Like, they either need to be innovative, or they'll have to take some kind of contract position, or, you know, maybe even work somewhere else in the Caribbean.
Yeah, because from what I'm reading, earlier this month, Barbados got $290 million from IMF.
Yeah, but that's all part
bailout.
Of...
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's
Yeah, that's all... why I say that's how bad it is.
Oh, yeah.
That's still... Y'all get 290 mil.
I think for Barbados and the whole economic situation, it's something that we're just going to have to watch and see what happens. Because the thing is, it seems like that government is being proactive about trying to turn things around.
They're trying.
And, you know, while it is, you know, not... the best and not the easiest thing to have to let go people, sometimes when you're trying to turn things around, you have difficult calls to make, right? We'll just kind of have to watch and see what happens there. And, you know, I think there's, you know, some people have a very negative stigma about when the IMF gets involved in countries, like, you know, they had to do, I think, with Jamaica and Trinidad. So I think don't quote me, but Jamaica for sure. Not sure about Trinidad.
It's one of those things where I think you have to wait and see what happens,
because that kind of change it doesn't happen overnight.
Yeah,
right?
And you cannot let things that happened previously other places dictate, you know, your perception of what's going to happen.
Well, and at the end of the day, if you need the help and you need the bailout, that's what those resources are there.
Take it for all the strings that come attached to that you have to do. So,
Adani, you want to introduce this week's topic?
Yes, I do. So, in acknowledgement of Halloween, although we don't celebrate it in the Caribbean.
Of Halloween or acknowledgement of Creole Heritage Month?
I get into that. You're going to let me do my job?
Okay, fine.
She offered you to do that and now she's doing it for you.
Yeah, exactly. Typical. Anyway.
Hey!
So, we don't have Halloween really in the Caribbean. Some people celebrate it, but it's not something that is in our culture.
Who celebrate it, that's a in recent times thing.
Yeah, but we do have Creole. It's going to be Creole Week in St. Lucia.
Some of us.
And it's going to be Creole Week in Dominica, I believe. They have a Creole music festival coming up.
Yeah, yeah.
So all that Creole stuff is coming up. So we're going to talk about scary stuff, but scary stuff that has to do with the Creole, West African and Caribbean culture.
Okay, okay.
The real scary shit.
The stuff that's so scary they can't make movies about it.
I know, right? Ooh.
Right.
Would you ever go watch a movie about these kinds of things, or you'd be afraid something would take you as you leave in the cinema?
No, I'll go and watch it, man.
I'd go and watch
because it. Because you see, a lot of those things were very prevalent back then. Because we didn't have as much light outside.
So, okay.
It was a lot of darkness.
So, before we start, and start going down these quote-unquote myths and legends and, you know, whatever, beasts and whatever, y'all believe these things are real?
Yes.
100%.
Yes.
I'm not 100%, but I believe that all of these stories stem from some form of real incident that occurred.
Well, okay.
They're all so uniformed in like the major points and factors of them that I believe something did happen.
Okay. We're
not sure what, but something did happen.
Well, I think a lot of these, I guess, what's the word we're using? What's the word we're using to describe these things? A lot of these stories, I guess, they came with the slaves from Africa. So these were things that they believed in or had experience with from when, you know, prior to...
I mean, you take it that far back.
But that's where the origin is.
Yeah, that's the origin. But
they can
trace
back to the Ashanti tribe.
But me saying I believe is based on maybe a story my grandmother tell me that something she experienced.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's what I'm saying. So, yeah, the origin is there, but the story
and the experience,
the thing of the experience
is modern day.
Somebody close to us that experienced it, that telling you about it and whatnot. You know? Like my grandmother telling me she encountered two Tibolons in cash trees when she going home from work. I mean, that is some slave story. That is her experience.
No, I'm just saying the origin of those things are...
The things themselves, the origin. But, I mean, people... If people experiencing them and talking about them, maybe it's convoluted in some way, in that, like, it's twisted. But like Adani say, the major points across all these stories are so similar.
Mm-hmm. And I was saying that they're similar because they came from the same...
I don't think that's why.
Because what I find is interesting is that we may have the same thing in different... the same story in the different islands and just, you know, like a slightly different name or spelling or that kind of...
Yeah, but that's name and thing. I'm saying
it's interesting that it's... The stories are the same across islands, right? So, Adani, take us down this haunted road.
You know, we gathered around the fire.
Let me turn off the lights.
For you to give us the story.
So, I'll need everybody to turn off all the lights and then get a flashlight and just hold it in at the below your chin.
Okay, if you turn my light up here right now.
Oh, wait. Are you about to go and say the start? Do it.
Oh, my God. Anyway, begin.
You know what I'm saying?
I know.
Cue Unsolved Mysteries music.
No, Adani, the traditional way.
Anyway, while Anushka tries to make Adani do the traditional way. Adani,
you know what I'm talking about,
take
Adani?
Take it away.
No, I'm not sure what you are talking about.
Anyway, stop. I'm stopping right there. Adani, go ahead.
You don't know what I'm saying?
No.
Edie Kui.
Oh!
Wow!
Right.
You totally lost me on that one.
Wow.
Anyway.
Yes. All right. So, I think first we should start with the basics.
Okay.
You know. So, that's the witch doctor, the Obia, the medicine woman.
Okay.
Sorry, and... I'm not sure how to help.
Well, Google tried to help us there. Google just tried to help
us. The mic is muted. By the way, the mic is on mute. To unmute it, press the button on the back of Google
Docs. The hell? Google just hardcore tried to
get involved. Apparently, Google just tried and get involved in our...
Google was just possessed.
In our story. Sorry about that.
Google does not like us talking about magic.
Anyway, go ahead, Anani. Yeah. You're talking about the medicine man, the witch doctor.
Yeah, the Obia woman.
The Obia woman.
Have you ever been to one? Would you ever go to one? Did your parents go to one?
Wow.
Was your grandmother one? Back in the day, it was a lot. Wait, hold on.
So because my grandmother from the day she's still alive, you wanted to show her one?
I didn't see that. You brought up all of those things. I'm just asking.
Anyway. Yeah. So, Anani.
Yes. So, boy. So, basically,
okay,
we're gonna talk about that aspect. The because I think that's the basis of it all, the magic and the a lot of the mystery starts with the medicine woman, the witch doctor. You know, your local healer,
yeah,
so to speak, your shaman. You know.
Okay. So.
But. I think back in the day, people would use them for good and bad, but now they only associated with bad things happening.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. Do you think that we say the medicine man, the medicine woman, the witch doctor, these people, right? Do you think those people were good and the Obia man was the bad person?
Well, you see, I think a lot of these things had good and bad.
I agree.
Yeah, I think... when they were in the community before, they were based in helping the community around them.
Yeah.
So people would come to them for various things to happen, whether it be your child to be smarter, you to look nice, you to get this man. Like, you know, all kind of stuff.
Or you come
like
and
that.
They give you a cream, rub that on your belly, and make sure your child born healthy, that kind of thing.
Exactly. You know, or stick a fork in this potato and walk around with it for 5 days. You know, random things like that. So,
When I hear those stories, sometimes I believe like those people are just playing tricks on the people. They want to see what outrageous thing can I make these people do.
You saying that like Miss Cleo, you know, was a fake? Like, come on.
If she was real, she'd have seen them coming for her.
But like people would go to, before modern medicine, people would go to these people for healing ailments, you know, helping them with sicknesses, and they would use herbs and different things, natural stuff to, you know, help people. And of course, I guess over time, like everything else, it gets corrupted in some way, and then people start doing stuff to, you know, forward their own personal gain or keep others back. So over time it gets misconstrued, but I find interesting that every society kind of has their magic or their healing person kind of band. So like the shamans, the witches, you know, of America, witches and wizards, and then the shamans, and then your witch doctor, your local healer, your Obia woman. Like it's slowly. All of them have slowly gone into, these people are bad. We don't want them in our community and we don't want anything to do with them as the rise of modern medicine has come.
Come about, yeah.
Yeah. So before, like, every community would have their local person. Now, and that everybody would know who that was and they'd know which house to avoid and not steal from. And, like, now it's like you don't even know where these people are. Like, they're hiding. They hide their stuff, and then you have to be in the know to know who does this and who to go to. But
I wonder,
then again, usually people who go to these people usually want to do bad stuff. So,
well, here's my thing. I wonder if these people, you know, pass down their knowledge to their children, and they try and like continue it.
I think in some cases maybe in some cultures where it's,
Can I say like if my father
if it's not their children, some kind of apprentice or
you know,
somebody
like if your father is a powerful shaman, I don't think you'd want to be a powerful shaman too. You want him to pass his tricks, show you the spells.
I think in some cultures, definitely, but it's still kind of like, in to me, from my perspective, it's still like a underground kind of sort of thing. Yeah. So there's no way to truly know.
I think,
like, even with things like
you could go to DeVry, you know.
Let me tell you something. I think Adani said modern medicine, but not modern medicine alone. I think also the rise of Christianity,
yes,
has pushed those things,
because I think the
into the background, people doing it in the, you know, behind the
roots
scenes.
Of a lot of these things was that tribal stuff, ancestral energy stuff, nature connection things. There's a word for it, you know, I can't remember, but even you know, having multiple gods, you know, that kind of thing. So I think throughout history you see that, right, that those things were suppressed with the Christianity coming in.
Yeah, and of course they use religion to control, you know. You are free to pick your religion, but in this case Christianity was used to control us, and it's a lot because they were afraid of what our own religion could do.
So that's why things afraid like of voodoo, what you cannot understand, right?
So that's why things like voodoo and these things were looked down upon, because, you know, people are like the people of that time, white or black, you know, actually believed in its powers. So a lot of that stuff stems back from that, and that might be why it's also so so negative in connotation these days.
So
it's
taboo.
Because people have trained us to believe that what we were doing was wrong, and then Christianity is right, and there's no other way, etc. So, but I mean, some people swear by their voodoo, swear by their obeah. So, you know, to each his own. If you can get it to work for you, then hey, why not?
Yeah. Okay, so.
So that's the foundation.
Yeah. So from these things, you know, I feel like the witch doctor and the OBA, you know, the more negative aspect of it, they would be the ones who told people how to call this spirit, how to harness that spirit, how to get this person to love you, you know, how to get that person to come take this baby away, you know, random stuff like that. So the next one will probably be the tibolom.
Okay.
So I feel like a tibolom or a bolom is very common in all the West Indian islands. It's basically a small childlike creature that looks evil and basically follows all your commands, and you have to hatch it from an egg so that you can control it. And because you cannot kill it per se, you have to give it a command that it can never return from.
To get rid of it.
At least that was how I learned it. I was growing up in school.
Because I asked my mother say, like, you tell it something like, go and count the sand on the beach.
Yeah, I mean that.
Yeah. So you give it a task.
An impossible task.
Yeah, you tell it, go and fill a shopping cart with seawater. Like, really? Yeah. Or you give it a bucket with holes, and you tell it, go and fill it with water, or go and count the sand on the beach, or like, go and, you know, go and bring back something from somewhere that's impossible. And then that's usually how people got rid of it.
So
I'm not sure if we should see how you try and call it forth, because I feel like in this new millennial age, people actually try.
Wow.
So we'll have to put a disclaimer.
I feel like if somebody actually wanted to create a bolom, they wouldn't just stress our podcast. They'll probably go Google it if they really want to.
In Google search.
Hey, as long as they send in their tibolom for me, I say.
I think if you Google how to create a tibolom, boy, and you have serious problems in your life there at this point.
Well, I mean, if you need a tibolom to solve your problems, then things have really passed that point.
Here's what I found online. The Bolomotibolo, meaning little devil, is said to be the souls of small children who died before being baptized. It is said that they become the devil's children or servants and go around tormenting families and often imitating the sounds of small children to lure the parents out and allow the devil to capture the adult soul. To prevent the bolom from entering your house, you must place a fine layer of salt on your doorstep and turn over the hem of your clothes.
That is a common in a lot of supernatural stuff. Salt.
So. You're saying, if I think somebody is in a bolom behind me, I have to do those things.
I will not put salt on my doorstep tonight, self.
And the bolom will not come. Okay.
In a lot of more recent TV shows, they have to surround the whole house with salt. All the windowsills, all the doors have salt. It leads me to believe...
Is Morton's fine? Or is
Supernaturals have a very low, you know, blood pressure.
Or they have high blood pressure. And they cut it towards sodium.
Yeah, high blood pressure, yes, exactly. So they're not healthy.
Yeah, hypertensive.
So, the bolom, the rumor is, or the story is, and as growing up, is that you get a bad egg or a certain kind of egg, and you sleep on it in a certain way, underneath your arm. And
first of all, how do you even do that, though?
Well, hear that.
You have to have a deep armpit.
No, well, it's not that.
That's why they're not bolums everywhere, because not anybody can.
Armpits have not been the same. Yeah, it is like this before.
I don't have a T-ball making armpits.
No, well, hear that.
It's a professional.
Some people say it's under your arm, and some people say you put it under a pillow.
Mm-hmm. But still.
Yeah. Nonetheless, how are you sleeping
I feel like if the main way to hatch it is under your arm, under your pillow will just be the Walmart version.
That one not that strong. Okay.
That's the off-brand bolum.
The off-brand, the great value bolum.
It absorbs heat, it didn't head in the wall, like, you know, it not following commands. Yeah. Like,
so, y'all have any stories about T-bolums?
I mean, me personally.
Uh-huh. But you said something about
your... No, my grandmother tell me one time when she was coming from work, she was walking through Cashies, she used to work at Elwin, and she meet two T-bolums, and they saying, beat her.
Like
to beat her up, kind of thing.
So what you do?
Run her business. Run. Yeah, she run.
Wait, but your grandmother just say...
Now you see, my grandmother just give me these stories, and then they just go on her business. She doesn't wait for me to ask questions. They have no Q&A. Nothing about that.
So she just say, imagine, I mean, two bombs on the head.
That was when I was young. When I was younger, I heard about T-bomb and whatnot. So, the day I come from school, I asked my grandmother, I say, I heard a trend talking about this. Like, what you know about that? And she give me the whole thing about the egg and all. She give me all of that. So I say, I proceed to ask, have you ever met one or encountered? And she say, she remember one day when she was coming from work, it was the middle of the night, and she met two, it was in Castries, and she tell me, and she always used to tell me, the thing is, at that time, they didn't have street lights like we have now, so it was dark out. There were a lot of places that was very dark and whatnot, so you would encounter a lot of these things, and she remember she encountered them, and she ran. She didn't stop. She didn't wait. She didn't think. She didn't look twice. She just ran. Yeah.
Well then.
Wow. That's wild. I'd also like to say, I feel like a lot of these things, as more technology and electricity and lighting has evolved, like those stories have kind of faded away.
Yeah. No.
I'd also like to point out that these stories in school always came down when your teacher was sick and it was a rainy day in school.
Yes. It's true.
Every single time.
No, but like Danny made the point about the whole, you know, light and whatnot. And I remember asking my mother, even my mother asked about it, and she said, the thing is, you have to remember a lot of those things based on what she was told and, you know, what you know, it seems like those things fed off darkness. And you know, it would, these things wouldn't survive in the light, you know, you have all, so you're not seeing these things. So a lot of this, it makes sense that if those things did exist, that now they would die out, or we wouldn't see them as much as before, because there's so much light and whatnot. And it makes sense why you, if you did hear about it, you'd hear about it in underdeveloped parts of your countries, the places that don't have much street lights and whatnot. So
Danny, what's next?
Well, Danny, okay. you have any story about T-Worms?
I have never personally seen one, but I've heard several stories of friends getting chased by them when they were younger, having to fight them off, beating one with a bat. I even had a friend that said he had hatched one, and that's why he missed school for a week. he had to get rid of it. It wouldn't stop following him. So yeah, I had several stories like that. But you all are my friends. So the next one would probably be the larger bliss. I feel like that was one of the very common ones, just because of how sexual, you know, our culture is. Like the idea of the sexiest woman you've ever seen, with long hair, a bright red dress, but one of her legs is a cow hoof. And you'd only see her at night, because that's the only time she could afford to come out. And there are two versions, with one being that she kidnaps children, the other one being that she sleeps with men to have their children and then sacrifice them. So, you know, you pick your flavor of the month. But the facts, if there are facts, the facts are is that it's long red dress, one cow hoof, gorgeous woman. So,
and she preys on men.
She preys on
yeah, it's men. Men, children, and men.
A story I have from that is one of my cousins told me about one being in like the west of St. Lucia, and everybody was at a party. And the party was near the countryside. So it was darker there. They weren't any lights. And then, but there were lights at the party. So while having stuff, I think like somebody starts shouting because they were whining on the larger bliss. And then when they reach their hand, you see, that's why you shouldn't be touching women without their permission. When he reached their hand, you know, and he stroke, and he felt the cow hoof, you know. And then he screamed larger bliss, and then suddenly the power went out, and then everybody just ran.
What?
There was commotion, there was screaming, people got trampled.
Okay.
But everybody scattered.
to that, because my grandmother gave me a similar story, but it was about my mother's stepfather. She said he used to go out and party and drink, and he used to get lost because he used to follow them multiple times. He would meet them and they follow them and they lead him places and then just disappearing.
You imagine coming home to your wife and telling her, "Oh, baby, I was just following a larger plus. That's why I came home late."
Yeah, but the cow foot, all of that, all of it's adding up.
Well, this sounds right, because then it says here, she turns up at village dances where she is immediately disliked by the women present, but she utterly charms the men and asks one of them to take her home. He follows her totally under her spell. She leads him deep into forest and then disappears. Unable to find his way home, the poor fellow stumbles around the dark forest until he either falls into a ravine or a river to his death, or gets attacked by wild hogs. That's quite specific.
Very.
Huh, well, I know where they have white dogs and I ain't going there. I know, sir.
And then it says she appears on the nights when the full moon is the only light that pierces the darkness, and she waits on those removed by ways where a man is likely to pass.
Well then.
Yeah, and I've heard a few stories of like people driving and like a woman with a red dress being on the side of the road.
Yeah, I've heard.
Yeah, especially going down the West Coast where there's not as much light.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you know, people giving them rides, and yeah.
Yeah. I somebody gave me a story once, and about how it was an older person, how they gave the person a ride, and when they reach a certain distance, when they look in the passenger seat, they have nobody there.
Mm.
Okay, so I got some other information.
Okay.
According to this, her face is hideous, so it's hidden by a large brim hat.
Or a veil.
But the thing is, like, in these days...
And she can't walk on the road because she has a cow hoof.
Uh-huh.
So she one foot is either on the road...
And the other in the grass.
Yeah, or she both in the grass.
But then, like, the way they describe the dress, like, what does a modern day Laja Bliss look like? Because, like,
she's in fashion over. She has a fashion over dress.
You know those onesies that black women wear? Like, yeah, that, but probably with long sleeves.
But you still see the foot.
She have a bodysuit from Fashion Nova.
Well, the thing is, right?
She have a jumpsuit from Fashion Nova.
At night, you cannot see the hoof, and you wouldn't see her at day on the beach like tanning, like you know, it's at night. That's how she hides the hoof at
Does
night.
Does she have an IG account in this world? Oh my god!
Let me look up Jablis.
I feel like she should have.
Let you know what city she in.
Yeah. Hey, Houston, I'm coming up. Let me know where your best tattoo parlor is. Where you want me to host a party.
So about Dominica Music Festival, I'll be there.
Yeah.
Wow.
Coming to host with you guys. Yeah. Look out for me in my red dress.
In my red dress.
My wet... My hobble.
first ten men get free pictures. Yeah.
No, ridiculous, man. So what's next, Adani?
Right, next we're going to do Papa Bois.
I thought you were going to want to talk about Margin,
Oh, super.
I feel like this is at the last set.
Okay. These are the big ones. Okay.
Right. Yeah. I feel like Papa Bois is a major one.
Okay.
So, Papa Bois is, I guess, the male version to Laja Bless.
To Laja Bless.
Yeah, so, he's the man of the forest or Father Wood, Father of the Forest.
Yeah.
Father would have a totally different connotation.
Hey, listeners, get your mind out the gutter.
So, he's popular in Creole culture and law and Trinidadian culture and law. Basically he's not considered a terrible figure
because
he's considered to be like the keeper of the forest.
Yeah.
So he protects the forest in ways.
Yeah.
So his appearance is supposed to be an old man, African looking man. I don't know how that means. They probably mean like a black person. But an old person, black, with hooves. Usually it's like you can see a common commonality here. Everybody have a hoof leg and very strong. But if you listen to the description of it, it sounds like a centaur or like the half man, half goat.
Yeah.
I forget what the Greek mythology term for that is. But I don't know. No, but the centaur is the horse.
Yeah,
and the centaur is
the horse. Yeah, that's true.
There's the goat and the man.
Ooh. Go ahead.
Yeah. So it sounds like he's one of that, very strong and protecting the forest. It is said that a lot of the stuff that you see in the forest that you can't explain has to do with him. So if, like, I one time saw, was running through the woods, I don't know why. But you know, there's a path, and like you ride your bike through it, and you feel you an adventurer, you know, and it's getting dark. Your mother tell you be home for 6, but it's 6:30, and you're out because you know
you're a bad man.
Yeah, and you can still see the sunlight. But the thing is, you know, the sunlight disappears so quickly. So it's between 6:30 and 6:45 darkness.
Within 5 minutes.
Yeah, so I try and get home on my bicycle as fast as I can. You know, I drift in corners, you know, I'm third wheel.
You did mirroring out in the forest.
Yes, I'm third sprocket, fifth gear, all out, flat out.
Good.
My bike was old school, I had five and three, not three and seven. So I see a dog. Right, I'm taking the shortcut home, so I see a dog in the path. Now, usually a normal dog will, you know,
move,
run out the way.
Yeah.
But I literally have to stop because the dog is not moving out the way. So the dog is black and its eyes are yellow. So immediately I'm like, okay, something is not right here. So I stop a few feet from it and the dog just stands there. Its mouth is not open. It doesn't even seem to be breathing. It's just standing there looking at me. And then it just lays down in the path. And then it looks at me like, you know, telling me, come, pass if you're bad. So, I'm not bad. So, I turn my bike around and I take the long way home.
The long way that you should have taken in the beginning.
Yeah.
If you had gone home on time.
Because this is not a TNT movie, you know. I'm not going to go through and then spend the next 5 hours running from dog, you know, in the sequel film, Bad Dogs, you know. I'm not going to do that. So I'm going to end it right there and then. That's why black people in horrors will always end shortly, because I took the long way home. And I did not pass there again for several weeks, and I didn't see the dog again either.
But they say like he, like you say, like he helps people in the forest. So like if there are people hunting animals, apparently like he just go after the hunters and whatnot. That's what they claim. I don't know too much about it, so
yeah. He has a female counterpart, Mama Dlo.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's, I guess, of the water.
Yeah.
Or the river. Well, then. So, yeah, their job is to protect the forest, and I guess people who have hurting the forest, cutting trees, hitting animals, you know, probably killing animals for sport, or killing more than you need to survive is who he targets. So he's not considered a bad figure. But every time I'm going to my granddad's land, it's like the road has no street lights and it's like a dirt road. Mm-hmm. So every time like I see an old man like just carrying his bananas, both of his, like he has long pants and then both of his boots like high up on his knees, like I always consider like, is this guy Papa Boy? Yeah, should I not be doing burnouts in the forest?
Like, is that him?
Wow.
So you always have to, you know, greet
the lookout.
Yeah, I think that's one of the stories that the people tell children to make sure that they greet their elders.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they say you have to be really polite to him.
Yeah. I think it's one of those stories, like you say, greet your elders and be nice to animals.
Mm.
Kind of thing. Yeah.
Okay. Yes. Also, be kind to Papa Boa, if you didn't know.
and Mama Glow.
Yeah, so the next one is the sukuya.
Okay.
It's not kind of like a... I feel like that's the like worst reputation one. Like,
what?
Like a vampire-esque, like shape-shifting, you don't know, like...
Sukuya.
Coming for you in the night.
Sukuya is the Red Witch from Game of Thrones.
But worse.
But worse. It's like a shapeshifter.
Old woman.
Her normal form is an old woman. But she can take any form. And she can shapeshift and, you know, trick you.
From what from what I've seen, they say in her true form as a fireball. She flies across the dark sky in such a way.
I don't believe.
I feel like my Guyana was talking about that.
I don't know about a fireball, but people have said things about seeing like a ball of light
In the night.
In the night.
So
probably like an old green kind of slime light. So the Sukuya, and people say that they've been attacked by a Sukuya if they like
you know, have
a random mark. Yeah, because she just takes out blood. I mean, unless you meet a Sukuya in a dead end, like, you know, or like Sukuya squad, and they have like six of them, so they just
feed on you.
Well, listen, yeah, they just suck all your blood. If that Sukuya sucks too much blood, it is believed that the victim will either die and become a Sukuya or perish entirely.
So a Sukuya is basically the vampire for the Caribbean.
Okay.
But we really evilly, like, Sukuya and Lajables have to be females. Like, there are no male Sukuyas. Like,
oh, are they?
If you're a man and a Sukuya kill you, like, you become a female Sukuya.
Oh my god.
So if you think somebody's a Sukuya, run. Just run. Don't fight her. Don't
get beaten. Saying about how did this come after people? Or whatever, you say something about that, I think.
Usually at night while you sleep. Yeah. Because usually they try and get people in their most vulnerable form. And then you feel a pain, you wake up, and then, like, you have a scratch somewhere or you have a bite mark somewhere. Something bites you. You don't know what bites you, but you just know you were bitten and blood was drawn. Mm. So that's where that comes from, at least in my experience. I've heard people say that they've been cornered by one, and she took the form of, like, a nice woman, or she was like a old lady that needed help, but she apparently can enter the home of a victim through any size hole or cracks or crevices. Man. So I guess she just travels as like a ball of light, sneaking around, sucking blood. Why you can't be proud of who you are? Why you can't just walk around? Hey, I need some blood, you know. So that's the Sukuya. She is she's fun.
I'm reading.
But it's interesting to see the link between West Indian, West African folklore and like US and European kind.
Yeah. But I'm reading this thing and it's saying how Sukuyas trade their victims' blood for evil powers with Basil, the demon who resides in the silk cotton tree.
Well, the silk cotton tree is also like a thing.
Oh, I mean, she's not taking people's blood to store it in her blood banks. So I assumed it was evil purposes.
Hold on, but guys, to expose the Sukuya, one should heap rice around the house or at crossroads, as the creature will be obligated to gather every grain.
Green by green. Connected so to the people long story. The act.
But let me tell you,
to destroy her, coarse salt must be placed in the mortar containing her skin.
She perishes. That pink Himalayan.
Unable to put her skin back on.
Yeah, that pink Himalayan salt. Mm.
Let me put this on you, right?
Okay.
If you go like let's see, for some reason you find yourself in somebody's house or hurt and you just see a jar of old skin there, or like
I threw salt.
Are you walking away and running, or are you going and look for salt to drop in there?
Okay, I think I'm probably running.
Yeah, because you didn't walk around with salt on you. And
more than likely a Sukuya not going to have salt at the home.
Oh, of course. I mean, unless...
Why would Superman keep kryptonite?
To season his food.
Well, I think the funny thing I was thinking was that them using the whole thing about salt and rice. Like, what West Indian household not going to have salt
and rice? Exactly. You know what I mean? That's the thing. So it's true.
That connects back to your parents saying you stay home and don't go out and be bad. You stay in your home when you have salt and rice.
Because when you think about it, back then in those times... Salt and rice, that's probably the cheapest things.
Staples,
right?
Yeah, because they definitely didn't say she need like a strip of bacon.
Wow.
Or she need Kellogg's Frosted Flakes, like you know. Okay. Cause then we'll be doomed.
So Hella, Sukuya says something about a silk cotton tree. I'm looking it up because I'm trying to understand what silk, you know, what this has to do with it. And this is what I found, guys. While it is true that Halloween isn't much celebrated in the Caribbean, it'd be wise to avoid this tree if you happen to be in the region on October 31st. Or any other time for that matter. You hear that? So avoid the silk cotton tree. Alright? This is a legendary silk cotton tree, easily among the most feared and notorious symbols of the spirit world of the West Indies. The reverence attached to these trees goes all the way back to the slave days, a product of ancient belief systems practiced throughout Western Africa, native home to many great slaves, as well as the silk cotton trees themselves. According to folklore, the silk cotton tree is one of the best places to find spirits, duppies, and other supernatural beings. They live inside the trees, which presents a bit of a problem if you're ever trying to build something where these bad boys are found.
The story is the castle of the devil is a huge kapok growing deep in the forest,
yes,
in which Basil the demon of death was imprisoned by a carpenter. The carpenter somehow tricked the devil into entering the tree, in which he carved seven rooms, one above the other, into the trunk. Folklore claims that the evil spirit still resides in that tree.
So, Herod, you can buy a piece of land and you go and you see that tree on
there, and then your land is less.
Whole chupabo, like
where
all your plants go out the window.
That is why you need a good real estate agent. You need someone
to scrub the land. It has a silk cotton tree.
But you'll want to sell it to some white people because it have a silk cotton tree on it, and I'm not sure you should cut it down. If you know about them things, just buy it, sell it to an investor, get your money and buy something else. But as your good real estate agent, I did my research, and this is not to be messed with. Okay. Leave it alone.
Okay.
When you walk the property, as soon as you see that, you just say, "Okay, yeah, deal's off."
So I feel like we gave a comp. We went through a comprehensive.
Nah. We missed one, Missy.
Which one?
Maginot. You have to talk about the Maginot.
We'll talk about the Maginot.
Okay, fine. Alright? Maginary or black magic, you may say. That's what they call it. Evil. Alright? You know, y'all know once you see they call it black magic, y'all know they call it. Y'all know it's immediately evil.
Uh-huh.
Alright? So now, yeah, they say the Maginary is usually a man dressed all in black.
Finally a man.
And is very tall. Okay?
Okay, so he's a basketball player.
So they say those who claim to see one, they say he's so tall that they cannot even see his head, no matter how far back you bend.
Damn.
All right. They say they usually come into your house past midnight. If your house is dirty or if it was set by someone to harm you.
Somebody grandmother that make that.
All right. Okay, they say if a Maginot is in your house and it couldn't do any harm to you, you'll wake up to find scratches on your body.
Okay.
So hear that. So they say if it cannot harm you, you're getting scratches on your body. So if it can harm you, what happens then?
Oh, well, you're not going to be around to find out.
Okay. So they say to prevent a Maginot from entering your house, the house must be cleaned before 6 in the evening.
Sounds like a Caribbean house.
And you must turn the broom upside down when done cleaning.
Yeah, you never
hear
that?
Oh, so the handle has to be on the floor?
Yeah. Oi, that sounds like a story member they make up.
Yeah, but that's how I was taught to clean.
Okay, that is the broom.
That really sounds like it's something my better makeup just to get me to clean the house.
Yeah, but they put in the broom outside and they hang it on the wall, the mop too.
They say so the handle
always holding the ground.
That's true. They say if entering your house past midnight, you must enter with your back facing inside the house to prevent it from following you.
But you all have done that already.
Enter the house backwards?
Yeah.
I've entered the house backwards, crawling on the floor. multiple ways.
We're not talking about
who doesn't enter the house backwards though after midnight, like
right?
I entered my gate backwards. I entered my driveway backwards. If you feel you sneaking up on me, you're lying.
You're dead wrong.
I literally opened in the gate. When I closed in the gate, I closed it with my back to my driveway and me to the gate. Because I live on like a street, like, you know, sometimes, you know, not often, but sometimes I'll come home at 3, at 4, you know. And I swear that's the scariest time to come home. Because you're just looking up and down the street and nothing is... Nothing,
right?
And like if like one of the street lights flicker, like that,
oh no, you know what gets me? You ever see like, let's say you go out and you come back home, but not like your usual late time. Let's say usually coming home 4 in the morning, sunrise, and you come home maybe 1:30, 2 o'clock. You come home a little earlier than usual, and for some reason they have that one fowl, that one rooster, just at 1 in the morning. It's like, why are you not sleeping?
Warning you of danger. Get inside.
Like, why are you out here?
What is you doing? Get in.
But hear that. Listen, hear
wait,
that.
But hear that. It could have been a bolon making them noises, no?
Nah, bolons just cry like babies, apparently. Oh,
okay. Yeah.
Let them
come on. I thought they could get just
your,
make any
get your
noise.
Sounds. Get your sounds
just,
correct.
I thought they would just leave.
Yeah, they make any noise, but usually they make baby noises to try and get you to, you know, to
That's what in. You get for living in Kappa State.
You weren't listening. Adani, she wasn't listening. That's a problem.
I am a child of God. And that's why she's the bolon. I don't have to worry about these devil things, you know?
But hear that, hold on.
I always lived in the light, you
missy,
know.
Missy, I have another piece of information for y'all. They say to see a imaginary, you can go to any 4 crossroads, especially one in the countryside, with a dashing plant, and you will see a imaginary.
Wait. The crossroads have to have a dashing, or you have to come with
it? It has to be there. You can't come with it. I think it has to be there already. Wow. Or maybe you have to come with it.
Any 4 crossroads.
I think you have to come with it.
Especially one in the countryside with a dashing plant.
Yeah, I think you have to come with the dashing plant.
I don't want to see no dashing. I'll eat my dashing at my home.
They say if you ever come in contact with a dashing, you have to pretend not to see it and be very calm. Because they smell fear. And that's when they attack. Since you are most vulnerable at that point.
So
it's like a bear.
Oh my God. So y'all, if we had to dress up for Halloween as a Caribbean folklore character or whatever, what would y'all be?
I'd be
I think
Papa
Willard would
Bois
be
or the Maginwe.
I think Vernon would be a Maginwe.
I'd be a Maginwe.
Vernon, if you got these like the rings people put on their head with the alien head, like way above your actual head.
I'm
and
not
then
talking
they,
about.
Like, just drip a black thing over it. Like, so like people that look up at you, you're already tall. The people that look up at you, like they kind of bend back and look up, they're like, oh.
Yeah, I'd be a Maginwe. Yeah.
And I get like those hoof shoes and I'd be Papa. Papa Boy.
I have to get my hoof foot to be.
Yo, we have some interesting things in
and a long ranges.
I don't get nobody say. We have some interesting things in the Caribbean, you know, in terms of like myths and folklore and this kind of thing.
So I just got some new research. What I saw that was the dog, it could have been a jagaji.
Oh boy, that's true. I forget about that.
So they are animal shapeshifters.
Yes, that's true. And I forgot about that
they,
one.
They fly over the land and come for people.
Yes, forgot about jagajis. Yeah,
and also the duen.
Yeah.
Which I have heard several stories about because people cannot mind their business.
Tell us about that one.
This one is basically evil children, right? So evil little children that died at birth, they're now spirits, but they're mischievous. So they like to trick people and they usually don't kill people. But they like to trick people and give them a hard time. So there are a lot of Anansi stories about a woman... or a man seeing like this baby, you know, innocent little baby or child sitting down in the woods or lying down in the woods and them being like, oh my God, this baby is here. Let me save this baby. And as they pick up the baby and they start running with it, the baby starts whispering things in the air, it gets heavier, it gets larger, it starts to hold them and constrict them tightly, and you have to bring the baby back. I know there's an auntie story about the baby saying, like, put me back where you find me. And the woman was trying, and the closer she got to her house and the further she got away from her, she got the baby. Like, she couldn't breathe. So she had to crawl with the baby back to where she had to put it, and then released her. And then the baby picked up the stuff and ran into the bushes.
Well, then.
So, the troublemakers. And, yeah, if you see a baby... If you see Dave Chappelle talks about the baby selling like weed on the corner, if you see that, go at your
home. First of all, it means you are too late.
At your home. Go at your home. If you walk in somewhere and you see a baby, like feet crossed, leaning against a tree, my dog, take the other route.
Wait. Leaning against a silk tree? Oh, boy.
Well, first of all, it means you made a wrong thing altogether. Yeah. At that point, I'm not going to lie. I don't think you will make it home.
By a silk tree. That's just poor.
Think you'll make it home.
Yeah.
Call your mother, tell her you love her.
If you know nothing else from your culture, nowhere not to go.
Yeah. True that. Yeah. Avoid women with cow hooves. Avoid random babies.
Leave the lights on.
Have salt.
Have salt on hand.
Yeah.
Put the broom.
Quinoa upside does down. Not count, you millennials trying to change.
Yeah,
exactly. Don't get the low sodium salt. It don't work properly. If you might just want to put salt and rice in a bag, just in
keep your eggs in the fridge and the fridge only.
Don't put anything under your armpit.
Yeah,
except deodorant.
Yeah, if an egg is green, throw it. Don't try and hatch a bolom. Yeah. And don't try and use no exotic egg either, because you could get an exotic as bolom.
Like an ostrich egg, like bolom.
A duck egg, an ostrich egg.
Yeah.
Turkey.
Tips to survive.
Duck egg bolom. Right.
And always enter, after midnight, always enter your abode backwards.
Backwards, yeah.
And it is not as difficult as you think, because literally, if you open the door, and then you swing the door, you turn around, and you're looking back out. We'll just close the door with you looking through the door, and you've entered their house backwards. Yeah. At least that's what I tell myself.
Well,
no, I do that honestly, because like it's easy for people to sneak up on you. Yeah. Like not even counting like bolums or anything, but like it's easy. Like so far less like a bolum or maginot or sukuya. Yeah, not today. And always travel for less and. Dip that less in salted rice.
Salted rice.
Oh my god.
So that when you swing, you know, you have the power of the spirit.
Yeah.
Alright. Well, guys, we hope you enjoyed this episode of the podcast.
Share any of your folklore, and your myths from your island.
And your stories.
I know we didn't cover everything, but there's so much, you know.
Yeah.
And of course you have the regular duppies and jumbies and all kinds of things. Yeah. Jab.
Let us know if any of our stories differ from your own. You know, we want to know of any variations.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Any ways to hatch them, kill them, you know, all the variations in the stories.
But Leonard, like before we go, what do you think the future of these like myths and legends are? Like, you feel like our generation is passing that on to their kids?
I don't.
And I feel like
that's the sad
thing. I feel
like
even some of us don't even know these as well. Like, I don't know these as well, and not special. I learn them more from being at school than from my parents.
I learned those things from talking to my grandmother.
I think as the older generation dies, like we need to be the ones that pass these stories on.
Agreed.
So the people who know them in school probably know them from their grandparents, you know, or maybe their parents as well. But as we have, like, back in the day, these are things you would tell your children to help them stay in line. And also just entertainment, because there's no TV, there's no computer, you know, there's nothing to do on nights where you only had candlelight in your house.
I really wish there were more, and I've seen some things here and there, like movies or short films about Sukuya and these kinds of things. But I really wish there were maybe like different animated series or something like that about just Caribbean culture as a whole, right? Because that's... easier to digest, right?
For
kids.
But there are books about it. I think you just have to make it more accessible.
Yeah.
So, like, I think something like a TV show or maybe a comic that's more catered to youth or catered to the new generation would be a good way of, like, introducing them. Because there are books about it that you can read, but, you know, people don't read like
this. Any of our Caribbean millennial listeners who are animators or, you know, graphic designers?
Maybe, or if you know of people who've done this stuff and we just don't know.
Yeah, please let us know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, guys, it's been another episode.
Talk to you
next week.